Praise God. It's good to be able to look at something that, particularly to me, I feel this is one of the core subjects in my life and my wife's life and our family life that has helped us to serve the Lord for 40 years. And I want others to be able to grasp it as well. So I'm hoping that Harry, I was going to call him Henry. Just give you a new name, Harry. Harry's going to keep up with the data projection this morning. But we started a new series about devotion to God from Acts 2. So we're going to start there again today. But today I want to talk about it generally in the sense of Christian devotions. And so we'll look at Acts chapter 2 and read those verses again from 42 and 43. And they continued steadfastly, say with me, steadfastly, in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. This is a wonderful commentary on what was happening in the early church. But I believe one of the things today that God wants to bring back so powerfully to the church is actually, what is the church? And where is the church? And so we're going to unpack that a little bit this morning from history. I haven't got a lot of time, but I'll hopefully in half an hour be able to give you something of understanding. So listen, first of all, in that passage we just read, the key words are they continued steadfastly, which actually in the original language means to exercise constantly, to continue in close, with perseverance and diligence. Daniel, you're a runner. If you don't run for 6 weeks, is the first time after that tough? It hurts. But to get back into it and get up to what you want to be, do you have to do it diligently? Yeah. Consistently? Yeah, every week. Anybody else? I swim 3 times a week. I like to swim 2 miles a week. And so I know that the first time I go back, if I've missed, and we're in Brazil, we couldn't go, you see. So when I come back the first time, whoa, oh, them muscles in my arms have actually got a little bit slack. So we need to hear that because that's important. Because what I'm going to say to you this morning, I want you to realize how important it is for you today in 2018. I don't just want to give you a history lesson, but you need to know that history will affect us today if we learn from it. If we learn from it. So, look at the screen. It says Christian devotions back to basics. So here's my 3 points this morning. The what of devotions, the why of devotions, the how of devotions. Now, on January the 8th, I was reading my little UCB daily reading, and I saw a lovely little passage there. Some of others might have read it. It's called The Choice to Dip or Dwell. The choice. Anybody else see it? The Choice to Dip or Dwell? Oh, one person. Praise God. God bless you. And the idea was wonderful because my wife's very particular about how she makes tea. You see? When we go to Brazil, in fact, I had an email from Gloria yesterday saying Vittoria made us all sit down and made the tea that Mary showed her how to make it when we were there just a few weeks ago. And she said it was lovely. You see, the thing is, with a cup of tea, you can choose to either put your tea bag into a mug and dip it a couple of times. Builders do this a lot, don't they? I've noticed that. So dip it in and then sling it. Okay? Dip the tea bag in and pull it out. But you know what? If you really want the best flavor, the fullest flavor and strength out of that tea, you've got to let the tea bag dwell in the cup. Better still, Mary, if I said cup to Mary at home, she'd go, tuh. Because Mary's got about 5 teapots. Because the teapot is the place where the tea bag is supposed to dwell. What's my point? My point is simply this, friends. Jesus said in John 15, verse 4, that we are to dwell in him, not to dip in and out of him. What's the truth here that we need to apply to our lives? Not dipping into God's presence once a week on a Sunday morning, but dwelling in God's presence every day. Because that takes church out of this format and into my family and home. And that's what I'm going to be focusing on this morning. And you'll see throughout history, I trust, if I get time to get to it. But the New Testament pattern, very, very clear. Next screen, please. You see, the early church got their practices from somewhere. Someone didn't just turn up one morning and say, by the way, I've got a few good ideas. You know that the early church were Jews and they came out of a Judaic religion. Not all bad, by the way. In case we think it is. In fact, our Old Testament's all Judaistic. But I like this quote, you see, because it says, the gospel brings men to God, but devotions keep him close to God. The gospel brings men to God, but devotions keep him close to God. And so we need to look and see how devotions developed in history and how they apply to our life today, because that's surely got to be the purpose. So where did it all begin? Well, let's have a look in the Bible. First of all, we want to look at the Old Testament. And we want to look very quickly at some readings I've got for you today. I can't read it all. I wish I could, but I'm going to try and impress you with at least the first line. Because if you turn in your Bibles, and I'd like you to do that, please, turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy 6. If you've got a Bible, Deuteronomy chapter 6. And we're going to read from verse 4. Hear, O Israel. Now, the word here in the Hebrew is the word Shema. Shema. Hear, O Israel. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house. When you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up, you shall bind them as a sign upon your hand, and they shall be a frontlet between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. That whole prayer, that whole command of Moses was called the Shema. And so I'm not very good at Hebrew, but it goes. The first line goes something like this. Shema Israel Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. You should know this. Which actually, hear Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Let me read what the Shema was for the Jew in his daily devotions. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Blessed be the name of his glorious kingdom forever and ever. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be in your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children. And you shall speak of them when you sit at home and when you walk along the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. And you shall bind them as a sign on your hand and shall be frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. And it shall come to pass if you surely listen to the commandments that I command you today. To love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. That I will give rain to your land and early and late rains, that you may gather in your grain, your oil and your wine. And I will give grass in your fields for your cattle, and you will eat and will be satisfied. Beware lest your heart be deceived and you turn to serve other gods and worship them. An anger of the Lord will blaze against you and it will close the heavens and there will not be rain and the earth will not give its fullness. And you will perish quickly from the good land that the Lord gives you. So you shall put these my words in your heart, in your soul, and you shall bind them for signs on your hands. And they shall be frontless between your eyes, and you shall teach them to your children, and you shall speak of them. When you sit at home, when you walk along the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. It continues, in order to prolong your days and the days of your children in the land that the Lord promised your fathers that he would give them, as long as the days that the heavens are over the earth. Speak to the children of Israel that they should make for themselves tzitzits, fringes, for the corners of their clothing throughout their generations, and give the tzitzit of each corner a thread of blue. And they shall be tzitzit for you, that when you look at them, you'll remember all of God's commandments and do them and not follow after your heart and after your eyes, which lead you astray, in order to remember and to do all my commandments and be holy for your God. I am the Lord your God who led you from the land of Egypt to be a God for you. I am the Lord your God. That's the Shema. That's the Jewish Shema, actually, which first and foremost was said every day by the Father over his family. You know, a lot of you know that I have a lot to do with Muslim countries. Can I tell you why Islam has become so strong? Because they pray five times a day. They publicly do it. And yet they don't know Jesus. They don't know our God. But the practice of bringing God to their family makes them strong. Can anybody say amen? Amen? When we look at our society, and I haven't got time to stop there and pause this morning, but I want to tell you, I know where Satan's most active, because he doesn't want God in the home. And actually, as we will see, before there was a church building, there was only a home. And so the home is church. Can I ask you all shout that back at me this morning? The home is church. Wow. So every day they went through this. Every day they said it. So we know. We know, friends, that because of that, a nation that has been torn to pieces, massacred and gassed and hated with pogroms and whatever, how is it that Israel is still strong today? Modern Israel is just like any other modern nation. It's got its red light districts and it's got its places and all the sinful. But I want to tell you, it's still there. And God did some amazing things to bring it back into being, because his plans and purposes are not finished with Israel yet. But you know what's kept it through? I don't know, anybody seen, Schindler's List? Can you remember in Schindler's List, when at the end of, towards the end, he actually allowed the Jews to do Passover? Yeah? And they gathered together. They didn't need their books. They didn't have them, because they knew it all. Do you know why? Because every day they knew the Shema. They knew the prayers. They knew what happened. So they're still here today. Now, of course, the church came out of Israel, came out of our Jewish backgrounds. And so the family we see in the Old Testament was where God started. Can I just say this to you this morning? When God told Abraham he was going to bless him, he said, and in you, all churches of the world will be blessed. Did he say that? What did he say? All families. Where do families live? Come on, give me some help. Where do families live? Who lives in a home this morning? Anybody in a bus stop? One guy, I thought you might put your hand up, yeah. But you're welcome, and I pray that won't be for long that you get a home, my friend. But listen, let me say to you, God actually said all homes of the world will be blessed. So, I read you the Shema, and now we know the early church. There were Jews, they knew the Shema. So when they came together in Acts 2, it says, and they continued from the Methodists to the Pentecostals. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say from the Catholics to the Anglicans. It says from house to house, from home to home. Can I tell you, friends, I want to say this to you by revelation that God has shown me. God says this, if our nation is going to experience revival, where it's going to happen and have to happen is in Christian homes. That's where it's going to happen again. It can't happen by just as having some guy at the front doing the signs and wonders job, because you can leave that and go and not be changed. But when something becomes so vital in your home every day, and if you look back at revivals, the Welsh revival, the Wesley revival, well, they began in home. Now, quickly, I ain't got a lot of time. Let's pass on quickly. The early church then and the homes. What's the next one, please, Harry? Flick on, keep us moving. That keeps me moving. Okay, so no, I haven't finished this one first, but leave that one on. That's okay. So listen, what happened was the Jews got saved, yeah? They believed in Messiah. And so what happened was they began to still go to the, well, they continued to go to the temple. Because in Acts 3, when Peter and John healed the sick man, they were on their way to the prayer meeting at the temple. So the temple was still a place where they went to. So don't get the idea that temple church buildings are wrong, but you need to go to do something when you go there. Worship God, listen to the word of God, and pray. And hopefully meet others who are like-minded. And so, clearly, there was only two places in the early church. That was the home, and it was the temple. But in the Old Testament, there was families, tribes, and nation. And before ever there was a tabernacle, there were families. And before ever there was a temple, there were families. You get my point? So the Shema was said by the Father every day, commanded according to Deuteronomy 6 verse 1. The Jews knew it, and the temple worship. By the way, sometimes we make a big thing today about celebrations, as though like, oh, I want to go to this big celebration, this big thing. Can I tell you, Jews only had 3 celebrations a year. That's when the men were called to go and stand before God. Listen, I want to tell you, whether it's a celebration, congregation, or a cell, or a group, or a home, it doesn't matter the size. What matters is God there? Yes. Is there a people who are passionate about God? Yes. Is there a people who are in love with the revelation of Jesus Christ and who he is? Yeah, and the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what matters. And so what happened was, we know the Jews came out of the Jewish, Christian Jews came out of the Jewish situation, and they began to meet in homes. It wasn't long before when they found out that they wanted to not only have apostles' doctrine, not the Torah, they wanted to bring revelation, fulfillment about who this Jesus was in the Old Testament. And so the apostles' doctrine was to explain who Jesus was. Because we're built upon the foundation of apostles and prophets. Jesus Christ himself, the chief cornerstone. So they were telling people about Jesus. And so apostles' doctrine, breaking of bread. Yeah? That wasn't in the Jewish system. It was prefigured. If you look at the Passover, it's there in one of the cups and whatever. But they began. You know, the word breaking in the Greek language means the snapping, means the cracking. So people say, oh, they were just having meals. No, they weren't. They were cracking bread. They were actually having their meal, but then let's have a time with Jesus. Yeah? And so this was new. The Jews didn't do that. They've got Jesus and they want to fulfill the fact that he rose from the dead and that he's alive, and they want to crack the bread. Fellowship, they gather together. How often? On meeting nights? No. Daily. Daily. That's what they did, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. Most of those things were already carryovers from the Jewish Shema system. But they added breaking of bread. Yeah? The others were already happening. Fellowship, prayer, doctrine, teaching, happened under the Jewish faith. So, size doesn't seem to really matter to God. He only asked them 3 times a year to gather for celebration. What he was more concerned about was what's going on in their homes. Quickly passing on, because it's a lot to try. But you know, what happened was, you know, in AD 70, the temple was destroyed. But before that, there'd been 2 other temples destroyed. Right? And that's when the Jews lost their land and were took into exile. Yeah? If you know anything about your Old Testament, you'll find that Ezra then began to gather together those, and he started the synagogue system. Yeah? Where they did those same things, the 4 things in Acts. They did them, except for breaking of bread, but they did them, or 3 things then, they did in the synagogue system, because there was no longer temple, it had been destroyed. And you know your Old Testament, if you do, they all came back for the restoration of the temple, yeah? That's what many of the prophets spoke about. But during that time, all they had again was the synagogue and their home. Can I tell you, there's never been a time in church history or in Judaistic history when home has not been a place for God to have church. Because the word ecclesia means a people called out. So I don't need a building. I just need to be with others who are called out. And then when I come together to the temple, praise God, we can have a right knees up and a wonderful time and praise God and hear some teaching and hear some preaching and maybe some gifts of the Spirit, and we can break bread like we did in our first service this morning. We can do those things. But never has there been a time when family has not, home has not been part of. So bless him, Ezra. He was rejoicing when they said, let's go rebuild the temple and so on. And it passed on very quickly. I can't tell you a lot more about that, but it's all in there. Messiah brought change, and the early church began in their home. That's why you've got to say, when you read Acts of the Apostles, don't interpret it by what you see today. It says from house to house. When it says they met from house to house, it doesn't mean they had a Wednesday night home group. Get the point? It meant that they actually met. Their homes were a place where people came to fellowship and meet with God. Is your home like that? Let me tell you this, in Acts of the Apostles, it says, and they met with gladness of heart. You know, it starts in your heart before it's in your home. Gladness of heart, who Jesus is to me. I want him in my home. Okay. You all right with this? Now, the other little difficulty I have to say to you today is for 300 years from the early church, there were no church buildings. It was only when Emperor Constantine said, I've seen a vision, I doubt it really, but he decided to say to Christians, you can build churches. And from that time on, we get what happens. We get the development of clergy and laity. Yeah? Specialist ministries at the front. And people have to listen. And people have to be done. And communion has to be done by the person at the front. And it has to be administered. And that went on until we now know what's Roman Catholicism. But you know, even the Roman Catholics realized very quickly that actually they still wanted God to be in people's homes. And so they started the rosary. Have anybody ever heard of the rosary? Yeah. Well, you know, I don't agree with it because it's all them Hail Marys and I don't pray to her. But listen, the rosary was all down to doing, to making people every day remember to pray, remember to draw close to God. So the principle was not wrong, but some of the things in it were wrong. And we can go on, that some of you will know, I don't know whether you do, what's called the novena in Roman Catholicism, the 9 prayers the Stations of the Cross, all them kind of things were started. And not just in the Roman Catholic Church, but after the Reformation, you've got what's called a sola, only Christ and only grace and only to remind people to say things and repeat things. And then the creeds were put on the walls of the Anglican churches. So I believe in life everlasting, I believe in the resurrection from the dead, because people didn't have Bibles so they could read them. So that their walk with God wasn't just about going to a place, it was in their hearts and it was in their homes. And so we see that develop over church history, where people, well, even the Wesleys loved to have meetings in their homes. That's how it started. Because he got thrown out of the Anglican Church. They continued in those things. And gradually people in the church began to develop devotion patterns and themes. Until we come to Ash Wednesday soon, the Anglicans, always something in our local village newspaper, there's going to be some Lent meetings. What's for? So that you'll bring yourself to a new place of repentance, looking at what Jesus did for us. That was all to keep you close to God. Keep a Christian looking to God. So, listen, friends, the Jews today still do this. But sadly, for many, devotions are something we take very personally. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. But can I tell you, the emphasis originally was that the Jew, the father, would do it for his household. And in the church, it should be that the man should do it over his family. If there isn't a man, well, we're under grace. But if you're bringing up children on your own, you take that responsibility. If your children have grown up and it's just you and your wife like we have, then we do it together. Because we want our house to be church. So the why of devotions is simply this. God made families his point of blessing. I've said that to you. Families live in homes. You know, Ignatius Loyola, who started the Jesuits, he said this, give me a child for the first 7 years and I will give you the man. Sunday schools were started, friends, as a positive thing because society had lost God in the home. That's why they were started. They weren't started to make church a bit nicer for children. They were started because there was such a terrible state in our nation. Children weren't being educated. They weren't being taught about God. They were feral. They were going wild. And so somebody said, let's bring that into the home again. So listen, I thank God for every one of our children's workers and everybody who serves so faithfully. But I want to tell your parents this morning, it's not their responsibility. It is my responsibility, and I am so grateful to God that my three daughters love Jesus today because we made our home church. Oh, problem. Paul's got lots of problems with that. Lots of problems. Talk to me afterwards. Because this place is to start, friends. You've got to start somewhere. Maybe if it's time, we'll come to that, but let me press on. So they went from house to house, teaching, fellowship, breaking the bread. Next one, please, Harry. Okay. So the why of devotions. Did you know when Ignatius Loyola said that about the Jesuits? He was right. Because if you've got a child till it's 7 and you teach it principles repeatedly, day in, day out, it will do that and it will change its life for good. Yeah? Why do you think the madrasas are full in Pakistan? Because they're making the children bow over the Quran all day, reading the Quran, because they believe that's where they're going to get the next harvest of suicide bombers from. Let me tell you, friends, indoctrination is not evil. It's good. Well, I just want them to grow up in our home and know the love of God, and hopefully they'll make their own decision. Help them. Help them by your commitment to Jesus. Help them by your devotion to him. Help them by seeing you pray. Help them by seeing you worship. Help them by seeing you turn to him every day of your life as the most vital and important. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God. Oh, God, I love you. Love the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul. Can you imagine Jewish children hearing that every day when it was said in the home? And in the early church, it was the same people gathered. And when the epistles and the gospels were written and they were being passed around, praise God, they took them. The early church is known for taking Philippians 2 and making it into a song. So they sang Philippians 2. No little children, my grandkids, you know, when they come round our house, we love to put tapes on that help them to sing about Jesus. We love to talk to them. So when we're talking to them about books, you know, because it's in those little moments that children grow, that there are your opportunities to share God. God, we want them to know God. See, if you're weak, it's nothing to do with God, and you bring them here on a Sunday, they're going to hate it. Do whatever we like, I don't care what we do, give them a £10 for coming through the doors. Eventually they won't want to do it because it's not for the right reasons. And if we've been failure in that area, don't get into condemnation. Just say, I am going to begin to do something in my house. Me and my wife are going to do something in my house. We're going to start something. We're going to set something. Because I don't know about you, I want to believe God that revival is going to come to our nation. And if it's going to come to our nation, it's not going to just come in meetings. It's going to come in my everyday 24/7 life. So, praise God. How does this happen? Well, I've passed a lot, missed a lot. I'll leave it to you. But the how of devotions is this. Fathers today, can I appeal to you? Dads. Please, you're great providers. You're great protectors. But can I tell you, God is saying he wants you to be the priest of your family. What does that mean? Well, just start simply. Just start at some point. Gather them together. Gather your family, whether it's one or seven. You know, Reese over at Swaffham's got 6 boys. Imagine trying to gather them together. But I said, look, just gather them together every day. And if the morning's no good, do it at night for the next day. But gather them together, gather your family, and speak blessing over your family. Right? Because that's what a priest did, by the way. In time to go into it in depth. But a priest would bring blessing. He would bring prayers. He would bring answers and training to his family. And when he did that, his family knew that there was more than there is out there in the world that they're facing every day. You know, our kids are wondering, what is it about? How does my relationship with God make a difference to my everyday life? That's because it's got to happen in your home. Yeah? When my kids used to come home and say, Mommy and Daddy, you know, my friend Lisa, she just told me today that her mummy's left her daddy. And we could say, that's terrible. We'll pray for Lisa today. Her heart's soft, yeah? But we're praying for her. We want you to know that we love Jesus and we don't believe that mummy should leave daddy. Yeah? We believe we should work it out. And you know me and mummy argue because we've both got short fuses. But you know also every time we've argued in front of you, we've said to you, please forgive us, we're sorry. Jesus is still needing to work in our lives. So that God was brought into the good times. Let's pray this morning because we've been invited to Disneyland. Who wants to pray for that? Yes, please, Dad. Yeah? You want to look, there's some great facilities online about how to do family stuff. Josh McDowell's a great one. But I want to encourage you today in the how of devotions. Fathers, become priests. Retake your home and make it church. Gather your family every day. I don't care when, whatever suits you best for your schedule and time. But bring blessing and prayer and praise and some training from the Word of God to your family and to your home. Don't decide to read Psalm 119 on your first week. Take a verse in the simplest way, simplest translation possible. Get the eldest kid to read it. And, you know, 5 minutes. By the way, did you know that the Shema in Jewish culture was not, the grace was not done before the meal, it was done after. So we thank this for the blessed to our brothers in Jesus' name. Amen. No. We eat our meal. And then we say, are you thankful for your meal? What are we thankful for today, God? 5 minutes before you get up. I mean, you've all got dishwashers anyway. You dump them all in the dishwasher. I ain't got time. Listen, this is so vital, friends. If you want your families to come and experience God and know God, so that when they're getting older and they've got the decisions to make and the challenges to make and they're going to face what's out there, the filth and the pits of this world that Satan's throwing, you have got to put into them through that daily. All right, if it's not possible every day, try it twice a week. Try it once a week. Just get started somewhere. A new beginning. Okay, I'm finished. You see, it was a command that Moses gave. There's no messing around with that. God says, I command you to do this. One of the problems today with charismatic and Pentecostal churches is it's all free grace. And well, God, don't matter whether we do it or not. God will look after them. I want to tell you, you don't live life like that. You don't just keep spending at your bank with wondering whether you ever put anything in. It'll all be all right. Yeah, TSB, you'll give me some free cash. No problem. Did they do that, Tim? No. Why have we got this slipshod attitude that we don't have any discipline when it comes to things that matter? God says, this is where I come into the family, and it changes that family for good. Doesn't mean you won't have problems, but you know God's in the house. So devotions in the house are vital for moving spiritual values and lives beyond the church walls into an active, thriving faith that you have. So you have to make a choice in your life to be that person, fathers or mothers. If there's no father there, don't worry about that. But to bring unity and peace in the home, this is what I believe God's given us the challenge. Bring strength in deep relationships with each other and with God. It means that God's in the home. Our family to use prayer, God's word to help us in really becoming a solid family, a core family, where friends and others who come into our home, we can guide them in all what we're doing, and we ourselves can make decisions and life's goals and in life's relationships. So that when our kids have got the problem and the questions about what about gay marriage, what about creation, what about evolution, what about, we do church in the home. And James 1:25 says, if you do this, you'll be blessed. Dear brothers and sisters, today can I say to you, is your house, is your home a church? Has been right throughout this book. Is your home a church? God wants it to be. God says he wants to be there. Are you the priest, fathers, this morning? I'm not here to condemn you. I'm here with all my heart to say to you, I'm not the best of fathers. I know that. Mary's got her weaknesses too. But without God, we could not have brought our kids up and see them walking with the Lord today. Do you want to see your kids go on with the Lord? Then don't neglect to hear what I'm saying today. Will you hear it as a command, and will you make that choice, and will you step up to the challenge? God, I want my home to be church. Let's pray. Brothers, I believe what I'm asking of you this morning, according to history, according to church practice, is that this is something that Satan will fill our homes with everything else but church. I want to ask you today to do the strongest thing in your life. That today, by God's grace, you're going to lead and be priest and become the priest and have church in your home. That's your desire this moment. I know time's gone, but it's such a crucial thing. Any brothers today, I want my home to be church. I'd love to pray for you. Stand to your feet right now. Forget any failure. Forget anything that you've missed or not done. But today you can make a new start. Today you can say, well, I've got to start somewhere, so I'm going to go and pester Paul until he gives me some books to read, or I'm going to find out how I can find out how I can do it. But I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm just going to start simply. Get all the family on board and talk to them about it. So Heavenly Father, for every man who stood here today, I thank you for them. I thank you that they're willing. And I pray today, Holy Spirit, you will make their hearts glad. I pray that you will come and fill them with resilience and strength and perseverance as they do in many other parts of their lives. To Lord, to make their home church by devotion to God. Father, we're here as leaders to help that possibility. I'm here this morning, Lord, because I know we can't do it without you. It's the hardest thing in our lives to bring up children these days. We need you. For the women here this morning, some of you ladies today are standing bringing up kids on your own. God bless you. The Bible tells us very clearly you won't lose out because there's no man. But the blessing of God will come upon you to your children. So, Father, we pray today. We pray today, right now, that, Lord, day by day, we'll begin to take this ground until our house becomes a church. A place where you dwell, where your word is honored, where we seek answers to bless and strengthen our children, our wives, and ourselves together. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. Jesus said in Matthew 22, this is the first commandment. Father, we pray for that Holy Spirit speaking to our hearts. Help us to not just be hearers, but to be doers of your word. In Jesus' name, amen.